Hour number two, next man up here on 102.5, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun first hour of the show. Talked a lot of positives, talked some negatives about the Titans' loss yesterday to the Seahawks 30-24. Some positives to take away is the conclusion coming there. Let's transition over to the college landscape. Big, big win for Vanderbilt over the team I happen to root for. And I do have to issue an apology here momentarily. 45-17, Diego Pavia, 33 of 39 for 484, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, also had 15 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. They just steamrolled Kentucky. It was never close. It seemed like it was 28-0 before anyone could say anything. It was bad for Kentucky. Very good for Vanderbilt. They've got all the momentum they need headed into Neyland, but very bad for Kentucky. And I will just say this. I, on Friday, said I felt that this game could be a trap game for Vanderbilt. And on paper, I felt it was. Kentucky was an unranked opponent. They were playing good football coming into Nashville, and Vanderbilt just blitzed them. So I was proven wrong. The text line is letting me have it, and maybe rightfully so. Apologies to Door Nation.
Pile on him, text line. Pile on him.
Apologies to Door Nation. Anchor down, I guess, is what I would like to say. But obviously, Vanderbilt has everything they need so far, or they've done everything right heading into the final week of the season. They need a little bit of help. But a win over Tennessee and a little bit of help will certainly, you would think, get them into the college football playoff. What do we think the odds are that they get said help? You need BYU to lose. You need a couple teams. You need Oklahoma to lose to LSU. You need a few teams in front of you to lose. And you also need to beat Tennessee. It's an uphill climb for Vanderbilt. But I think they're capable of doing it. I really, after what I saw on Saturday, after what I've seen this season, Vanderbilt rises to the occasion. Now, sometimes they come up a little bit short. On the road at Alabama, they came up a little bit short. On the road at Texas, they came up a little bit short. But Vanderbilt, other than that, rises to the occasion. They have the win over LSU, which doesn't look as good now, but at the time, a ranked win. They have the win over Missouri, which doesn't look as good now, but at the time, a ranked win. They have the road win over South Carolina, which at the time was a ranked win, but doesn't look as good now. That said, they rise to the occasion. This isn't your granddad's Vanderbilt. This is a new Vanderbilt, and good on them, and they're a good team, and good for them. That said, can they rise to the occasion one more time and squeeze into the college football playoff? They're probably not going to host. I think we've kind of established that. If they make it, they're probably going to be on the road. But I think they're capable of rising to the occasion. Tennessee's coming off a lot of momentum, too. And we'll get to them shortly. But Tennessee, although beating a 3-win Florida team, they beat a rival on the road. And you can't not give them credit for that. It was a good win for them. But Vanderbilt, I think, on paper, has more to play for than Tennessee. Actually, I know they do. Vanderbilt's playing for a college football playoff spot. Tennessee is playing for pride at this point. They're playing for the Cheez-It Bowl, whatever you want to put them in. Vanderbilt rose to the occasion against Kentucky, and I think this may lock Diego Pavia in New York with the stats that he put up in the season he's having and the way he elevates Vanderbilt in their play. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Dr. Locke. DL, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Nothing much.
Hey, you called me negative a couple calls ago. Man, you guys are, you know, dogging out a little guy trying to carve out an NFL career, man. Shame on you. And you guys called me negative. Shame on you.
No, hey, Dr. Locke, that was Friday.
You're our most positive caller, Dr. Locke. We would never.
I appreciate it. Hey, this is what I'm positive, fellas. give me a couple minutes and walk this out with me.
Sure.
You guys know that this week, you guys, if you want Vanderbilt in, you guys are Ohio State fans. You guys are 100% walking lockstep with Dr. Locke, baby.
That is true.
Because if Michigan wins, you can say goodbye to one of those precious middle-dwelling SEC teams. They go, and Michigan in. So, you know, I know us top-heavy, back-to-back national championship, Big Ten conference.
There it is. You know, there it is, Dr. Locke.
Hey, but you guys are walking lockstep with Dr. Locke, baby. OH!
I-O. Thank you, Dr. Locke.
You got it. See ya.
See ya. He's right. You're rooting for Ohio State this week. If Michigan wins, they are going to the Big Ten championship and probably getting into the college football playoff. So you're rooting for Ohio State this week.
Yeah, that's the thing that people haven't talked about. Michigan is lurking around with a 9-2 record. And for the past 4 years, we just assumed that Ohio State was going to beat Michigan, and that didn't happen. Ohio State won it all last year and buzzsawed everybody in the college football playoff, but they lost to Michigan before that. We didn't expect it. So we can't just rule out that Michigan is going to lose this game because we did that the last 4 years. But if they beat Ohio State, they have the tiebreaker, and they would face Indiana in the Big Ten championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's you're right. Not a lot of people are talking about that, and it seems weird to talk about because Michigan is a team we haven't really talked about all year. Have the loss to Oklahoma, struggled against Northwestern a few weeks ago. I don't think Michigan is that great of a college football team, if we're being completely honest. I would expect this game on Saturday in Ann Arbor to be close simply because it's a rival. And Ohio State, Michigan, no matter how bad each team is or how good each team is always a close game. I would pick Ohio State just because I think the offensive talent is absolutely stacked top to bottom. They have two of the best players in the country on defense, and I don't know if Bryce Underwood is ready for a game of this magnitude, even if it is at home. I'd pick Ohio State, but if you're Vanderbilt, you're watching this and also picking Ohio State because, you know, it's you don't want to get stuffed in a locker for a Big Ten team that makes the Big Ten championship simply because they have a tiebreaker. Jeremy in Clarksville, Ohio State has been doing really well against the University of Michigan lately. I assume Jeremy is go blue. Yes, and that's something you got to factor into. Ohio State hasn't beaten Michigan in, what, 2,000 days? 2,000 plus? Dave Portnoy reminds us of that every day. But I think if we're going strictly based off of roster and on paper, Ohio State has a much, much better roster than Michigan does. There's no question.
They had a better roster last year, too.
That is true. I'm just saying, on paper, comparison, Ohio State is better than Michigan. But I don't know. Michigan could come into this one and do it again.
Here's how Michigan wins. This is the exact same formula as last year. Michigan has one way that they beat Ohio State, and that is Michigan football through and through, run the football, play good defense, win in the line of scrimmage. If Ohio State gets, you know, drug into playing that style of football, I could see Michigan winning this football game, especially considering it's in Ann Arbor. What Ohio State needs to rely on is they can run the football well with their true freshman. By the way, one of the greatest names in college football, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
True freshman running back for Ohio State.
Yep.
They have the best defense in the country, I believe, with Matt Patricia and the schemes that he runs. But you hit those plays to Jeremiah Smith, if granted he's healthy. You hit those plays to Carnell Tate, Ohio State wins this football game.
Yeah, I mean, I know they played Rutgers the other day, but they were without both and still looked like a completely loaded top to bottom offense. So there's no shortage of receiver help on Ohio State. But you're right. If Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate are healthy, I would lean heavily towards Ohio State. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you're Vanderbilt, you are cheering for Ohio State this year to take out Michigan. Coming up next, we talked a little bit about Vanderbilt's big game against Kentucky. Diego Pavia may have shored himself up a spot in New York, and I want to hear from you. Do you agree that Diego Pavia may be a lock to New York after the game he had against Kentucky? We'll get to that next on the other side. Again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. One of the two front women in country music today, I would argue, of this next era.
Her and Ella Langley.
Yep, Lainey Wilson and Ella Langley.
Lainey Wilson's the front. I mean, she swept the CMA Awards the other night.
She's a queen. She's a literal queen. She's amazing. Welcome back in. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman out. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in with you today. Talking a little college ball. Vanderbilt dominates Kentucky. I know. I'm going to keep saying it. Dominates Kentucky 45-17. Diego Pavia, 33 of 39 for 484. Five touchdowns and interception. Also had 15 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. And I think a performance like that, granted against a bad Kentucky team, who I thought would put up a little bit more of a fight, but regardless, a performance like that against an SEC team, and you look at the volume he's had all season and the performance he's had all season and the way he elevates Vanderbilt, I think that performance should earn him a spot in New York for the Heisman ceremony. That's just me. And I'm curious if you agree, 615-737-1025. I think a performance like that shores him up a spot in New York. Because, like Joe Dubin has been harping on, and I agree with him on this, the Heisman should be more about what kind of an impact you make for a team rather than just stat-based. Diego Pavia has made more of an impact for Vanderbilt than any quarterback across the nation has for their team. I don't think there's any argument in that. Diego Pavia and Jerry Kill and Clark Lee and what have you have transformed this Vanderbilt program into, you know, a top SEC program. It's kind of crazy to still say, but it's true. Vanderbilt is a college football playoff contender, and like we've been talking about, if they go into Tennessee this week, get a win and have a little bit of help in BYU winning, and obviously Ohio State needs to beat Michigan, or BYU losing, Ohio State needs to beat Michigan, you need some other things to play in, Oklahoma needs to lose to LSU, you need some things to play into your favor. But I think for the first time in history, Vanderbilt football controls their own destiny to go to a playoff.
Control? I don't know.
Sort of.
Here's how I look at it. And let me, hold on, talk for a second. Let me get this pulled up.
Okay. Well, Pavia deserves all the flowers, as Dustin in Hopkinsville literally just texts in as I say that. Pavia deserves the flowers. Maybe not control their own destiny is not the right thing to say. They need to win. They need a little bit of help. But I think what I'm trying to say is Vanderbilt has a legitimate shot to find their way into the college football playoff.
So here's I've been doing math over the weekend, and here's how it shakes out. So the CFP picture as of right now, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, all can be considered locks. Because even if they drop a game, they'll be 11-1. They'll play in their conference championship. Well, if Ohio State loses, they probably will not play. But
say those again. Ohio State,
Indiana, Texas A&M. Okay. All could be considered locks at this point.
I think you could throw Georgia in that conversation.
Likely too. Locks. Hold on. There's another category. Okay. Likely locks is Georgia and Texas Tech.
Okay.
I'd say that they're in as well. AQs, so automatic qualifiers, you'll have your ACC champ, which Duke is not going to win the ACC, so we can kind of knock that scenario of the ACC missing out. The ACC champ will get in. It'll either be SMU, Virginia, or Pitt. The group of five will get their team in. So that's seven spots that have already been taken up. Win and in. This is the bubble. Ole Miss, Oregon, and Oklahoma. Ole Miss plays at Mississippi State. Oregon's at Washington. And Oklahoma hosts LSU. I think all three of those teams will win. So that's 10. That's 10 spots. Win and likely in. Notre Dame, who's playing at Stanford. And they just buzzsawed Syracuse, put up 70 on them, so I don't see a world in which they lose that game. And then Alabama, who plays at Auburn. Now, some tricky things have happened in Jordan Hare, but that is your 12 spots right there. So on the outside looking in, you'll have BYU, Utah, Miami, Vanderbilt, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And if Michigan beats Ohio State and plays in the Big Ten championship game,
they're probably in.
They're probably in, and that takes a spot away from either a Notre Dame or an Alabama.
Yep. Yeah.
So Vanderbilt's going to need a lot of help. And honestly, I mean, you heard the intro. A 10-2 team should get in, and they should.
Right. But there's so many teams out there. In this new formula, there's so many factors that play into, oh, well, you're 10-2, you should probably get in. It's about who beats who, right? And margin of victory is a thing. That's why they kind of ran the score up on Kentucky the other day, and rightfully so. But on the Diego Pavia Heisman front, and thank you to Scott for sending this in, of the four quarterbacks that are widely considered to be Heisman frontrunners, here are their stats. Fernando Mendoza, who is probably the front runner, 2,857 total yards, 73% completion, 2,641 yards rushing, or I'm sorry, passing, 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 216 rushing, and 5 touchdowns. Marcel Reed, Texas A&M, 3,147 total yards, 61.8 completion percentage, 2,752 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 395 rushing yards, and 6 touchdowns. Julian Sayin for Ohio State, 2,832 total yards, 79.4 completion percentage. That leads the nation in completion percentage, at least, maybe not the nation, but at least of these four. 2,832 yards passing, 27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 20 rushes, no rushing touchdowns. 3,585 total yards for Diego Pavia. That leads the four. 71.8% completion. 2,924 yards passing. That leads the four in that category. 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 661 rushing touchdowns. Wow, never mind. 661 rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns. Those both lead the four. So, Diego Pavia leads in four categories that I just listed there. I think he's got a major case. I really do.
If I'm a Heisman voter, and by the way, I will be campaigning for this until the day that I die.
Yep.
I'm not a Heisman voter, but I should be. I believe it with all my heart, but that's besides the point. Anyways, I believe there are four candidates right now worthy of being invited to New York. Fernando Mendoza is going to be one in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Pavia, yep. Absolutely, after what he's been able to do the last couple of games. Jeremiah Love,
yep,
best running back in the country.
By far.
And then the fourth being, I'm blanking on it.
Oh,
quarterback.
Go ahead, find it.
Marcel Reed. Absolutely. The Heisman committee loves those Heisman moments. I believe if Marcel Reed had a Heisman moment, it would be the South Carolina comeback.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're 11-0 and we're talking about most important to their team, Marcel Reed is definitely in the argument. But I don't believe there are many quarterbacks, if any at all, that could do at Vanderbilt what Diego Pavia has done.
615-737-1025. Do you believe Diego Pavia should be in New York when it's all said and done? There is a caveat, and I'll play devil's advocate on the other side. There's something that needs to happen for Diego Pavia to truly and fully have my support in being in New York. We'll get to that on the other side right here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. This is like dual category right here.
I'm a man of the people, okay? They requested Dolly Parton. I'm going to play Dolly Parton.
I mean, someone requested some Dolly. She is here. This fits country and White Girl Friday. So great job. And this is also my favorite Dolly song. Welcome back in. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. We're talking about Diego Pavia. And should he be a Heisman lock? I just ran through his stats. And they are certainly Heisman worthy. There is a caveat to this. And I think something needs to happen for him, at least for me, to completely sure him up a spot in New York. He's got to beat Tennessee on Saturday. He has got to go into Neyland and beat Tennessee. Because a 9-3 team, granted, we've seen a Heisman winner from a 9-3 team before. We just saw it a couple years ago. It was Jaden Daniels. But Diego Pavia's argument right now is not because of his stats. Although he is leading in some categories, it's not because of his stats. His primary argument right now is what he has done for Vanderbilt. 2 years ago, Vanderbilt was a bottom-of-the-barrel SEC team. Today, Vanderbilt is in the upper echelon of the SEC. And it's just still astounding to say. And the reason for that being is what Diego Pavia and Clark Lee and Tim Beck have done. And Jerry Kill. They have transformed this offense. And Diego Pavia is the maestro of that. That is his main argument of being in the Heisman conversation. What he has done for Vanderbilt. He's got to beat Tennessee. He's got to come in and beat the Vols. If he beats Tennessee and doesn't get invited, then I will be upset. But I think he will. I think he will be invited to New York if he beats Tennessee. I said earlier in the program, Tennessee doesn't have a lot to play for but pride. And that is partially true because they're out of the college football playoff pretty much. You can lock that down. They're playing for the Cheez-It Bowl at this point. That said, this is a rivalry game on Saturday. They're coming into a hostile environment in Neyland Stadium, and they've been talking. Vanderbilt's been talking all season about how they're going to beat Tennessee and how football runs through Vanderbilt now and not Tennessee in the state. You don't think Tennessee's taking notice of that? You don't think Tennessee's taking the orange marker and circled the date on Saturday, ready for this one? Josh Heupel wants to end this season on a high note. He wants to end this season with some momentum and win and be 9-3 on the season in a year. Everyone thought, well, maybe they'll go 8-4, 7-5. Obviously, the expectations changed for Tennessee once they competed with Georgia and, you know, came out of the Mississippi State game alive. The expectation was elevated. They were expected to make the college football playoff. We've had this discussion before. But now that the expectation has been lowered back down, they just want to end this season on a high note with some momentum. Vanderbilt is playing for everything right now. They are playing for a spot in the college football playoff. If they win and get the help they need, they are in. If they lose, it's all for none. If they lose, there's no chance with as much help as they need and the record they have that a 9-3 Vanderbilt is getting into the college football playoff. I think we can all agree on that. So if Diego Pavia wants to shore himself up a spot in New York, he's got to beat Tennessee, and he's got to do it with some good stats. He can't go in and beat Tennessee with 189 yards passing and 30 yards rushing and a touchdown and two picks. That's going to not help his case whatsoever. But if he goes in and has a game, he doesn't even have to have the game he had against Kentucky, in my opinion. If he has like a 250 passing, two touchdowns, no pick kind of game, and wins, then I think he's in. I think he's in New York. I'm not saying he's going to go to New York and win the Heisman, but I think he'd have a good case to be in the conversation. He's got to win, though. And Heupel...
got to win.
I don't want to say Heupel's coaching for his job, because he's not. That's absolutely not true. But Heupel, like I said, wants to end this season with some momentum. And Tennessee, I'm not saying they're ready to fire Heupel, but you're having some fans that are getting a little bit restless. You're having some fans that are tired of being on the outskirts of contention. And 9-3 is a good season, especially all things considered. They had to pivot to a completely different quarterback in the spring window. But that shouldn't be the expectation year in and year out for Tennessee. After the season they had in 22, the program should have been elevated. It should have been, oh, they're going to be national contenders year in and year out, and it simply hasn't. They've been 10-2 and 9-3 every year since then. So the expectation needs to be elevated for Tennessee. That said, it starts on Saturday. If you can knock Vanderbilt, who is your rival, by the way, out of a college football playoff conversation, I think that will shore up some momentum heading into next year and is kind of bragging rights for you as you head towards the offseason. I realize they have a bowl game to play, but let's be honest, bowl games, if you're not in the college football playoff.
Oh, don't say this, Connor.
They're not as meaningful.
Don't say it.
I don't think they're completely meaningless.
Don't diss the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Connor.
They're not going to be in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The Pop-Tarts Bowl is Big 12 ACC, right?
Yeah. It's one of I've already.
But it
been,
is America's game.
It is America's game. Super Bowl who? I'm watching the Pop Tarts Bowl. Okay, the Rose Bowl and the Pop Tarts Bowl are my favorite bowl games.
Oh yeah,
hands down.
The Rose Bowl is by far my favorite.
Rose Bowl, like the pageantry. You know, Big Joe asked the other day if you died and you'd want your ashes to be, where would you want your ashes to be buried? My answer would be, I want half my ashes in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
I've never been to California, but yeah. I love the Rose Bowl.
I don't like, and they're moving away from it, which is good to me. I don't like that UCLA plays in the Rose Bowl because it takes away the pageantry of the stadium. UCLA is a trash program right now, and they're tainting the reputation of that stadium by playing in it. But they're moving to SoFi, so it's okay. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Brandon in Hermitage raises an interesting point. What if Pavia pops off, but Vanderbilt loses to Tennessee in a close one? Should he still be invited to New York? I think so. Like, if he has the kind of game he has against Kentucky, then I think he should be invited. But that said, if he loses, he's obviously out of the college football playoff. I would almost bank on the fact that he's not going to win the Heisman. He would be a fringe, like maybe the fourth guy invited to New York, if you were to ask me. That's what I think would happen. The committee, as we know, is unpredictable in both the college football playoff and the Heisman committee. So there's no telling what could happen, but I think he would be invited. He would just be kind of a fringe guy, if that makes sense, if he were to have a historical game of sorts.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I'm very staunch on my four. It's Mendoza, Pavia, Reed, Love. I feel like they've been the most outstanding. I really feel like the Ty Simpson's game against Oklahoma kind of knocked him out of it. Before that point, I absolutely would have included him in the four. But it's hard to argue with those guys. But I agree with you about Pavia. He needs to win in Knoxville in order to get an invitation, because there have only been three Heisman winners that have had three losses. Tebow, Lamar, and RG3. And Jane Daniels. Yeah. So that's four. And I don't know if Diego Pavia is necessarily in that same company, but he needs to win in Knoxville.
And to your credit, Brandon, I think if Diego Pavia pops off, then Vanderbilt wins the game. I know we're playing a hypothetical right now. Let's say he does pop off, to use your words, and they lose the game. I know we're playing that hypothetical, but if Pavia pops off and has, as Dustin Hopkinsville texts in, his best game, I think Vanderbilt wins. I think it is hingent on the play of Diego Pavia. Like all of their games, it's hingent on the quarterback. I think it's hingent on the other side for Tennessee, on how Joey Aguilar plays. So let's get into that matchup coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Who has more momentum heading into this game on Saturday? Vanderbilt, who just beat Kentucky 45-17, or Tennessee, who just knocked off Florida for the first time in about 22 years, 31-11. And we'll discuss that matchup a little bit as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll do that coming up next, right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. A white girl Broadway karaoke staple from Mrs. Underwood. Nashville legend. Welcome back in. Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. Jake Lyman out today. He is calling Vanderbilt women's basketball over on 94.9 The Fan. A bit of breaking news to give to you on the MTSU front. MTSU head football coach Derek Mason will return for the 2026 season. That is per Cecil Joyce. So, there you go. Derek Mason running it back for year three over for the Blue Raiders. We are discussing Vanderbilt versus Tennessee this week. Who has more momentum going into this one? Vanderbilt, who just took out Kentucky 45-17 and Diego Pavia put on a historic quarterback performance, or Tennessee, who just beat maybe the worst Florida team in 25 years. But regardless, they break the streak in the swamp. First time since 2003 that they beat Florida in Gainesville. And look, Joey Aguilar played well. He looked very poised. The play calling was phenomenal for Tennessee in the first half, and then it kind of trailed off in the second half. But where was this Tennessee earlier in the year? Why did they not put pedal to the metal against some of these teams that they could have beat? Georgia is an outlier, but the Oklahoma game is what comes to mind for me. Regardless, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, both riding momentum heading into Neyland on Saturday. It just seems like a battle of momentum. Who's got it more? Who wants it more? Vanderbilt, who's playing for a spot in the college football playoff, or Tennessee, who's trying to knock Vanderbilt out of college football playoff contention? Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Scott to the program. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Great show, guys, as always.
Thank you.
Tennessee, they beat a terrible Florida team. Yeah, they run up 31 points in the first half, but what does it say for them when they don't have enough confidence to keep on trying to get it?
I think we lost.
It appears we lost Scott.
I think we lost Scott there.
It sounded like he was coming to us from Cambodia.
You've been hanging out with George too much.
I have.
Yeah,
I
know. He's rubbing off on you. But I think I know where he was going there, in that Tennessee's defense, he doesn't feel can compete with Vanderbilt's offense. And maybe that's true. But I think Tennessee and Vanderbilt are very comparable teams. I think Vanderbilt might be the better team, but they're very comparable in that they both have great offensive weapons and good defenses, but Tennessee's defense tends to struggle a little bit more than Vanderbilt's. I truly think this is a battle of momentum. This is going to be who's going to ride the momentum coming off big weeks more. I think Vanderbilt has more to play for than Tennessee, but that's not to say Tennessee doesn't have anything to play for. They want to finish the season on a high note, the regular season that is, and then go to at least a better bowl game. Vandy is playing for college football playoff contention, so that's going to fuel them. 615-737-1025. Let's get to some of your texts. Parker on the text line, not Parker Kelly, says Vandy didn't score an offensive touchdown till the fourth quarter last year, and Pavia had barely 100 yards. This is in reference to the Tennessee game last year, of course. With all that trash he's talked and the fact that it's at Neyland, the kid's going to get humbled again, in all caps. Bye-bye, New York. Maybe so. That's another factor that plays into this. Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt have talked a lot about Tennessee. He went on Bussin' with the Boys with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton and said, the state of Tennessee runs through Vanderbilt football now. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with him, but he has talked a lot. You don't think Tennessee has taken the orange marker and circled the date Saturday, November 29th, and looked for that and waited all season for that, similar to what Alabama did? Alabama took that date, circled it on Vanderbilt, and came out victorious. You don't think Tennessee's done the same thing?
Oh, Josh Heupel, I know for a fact, has done that.
Absolutely.
Because Josh Heupel's about as competitive as they come. He won't say anything that'll give any type of bulletin board material to Vanderbilt throughout the week, but he'll be ready to go.
Right. Justin Greenbrier says Vandy's defense need to show up early against UT, and I feel like Pavia and that offense should be able to capitalize against the Vols defense. Agree there. I think the Vols defense, although dwindled, missing probably their two top corners in the secondary, is still a good defense. Vanderbilt, I think, just has the offense to be able to overcapitalize on that, and that's going to be the tale. It's hingent on the play of the quarterbacks. It's hingent on how Diego Pavia plays. If he throws up a stinker, which I don't think he's going to, but it could happen, then I don't think Vanderbilt has a chance. Same thing for Tennessee. Joey Aguilar is App State Joey Aguilar, then Tennessee is going to struggle. That's just how I feel about that. Brandon in Hermitage. Yeah, UT fans, let's talk about last year. Tennessee came out and won that game. So
here's what I will say. The fan base has been stewing on this for a while, too. They remember what Pavia said on Bussin' with the Boys. You're in Neyland, I guarantee it's going to be sold out.
Oh, yeah.
And home field, environments, home field already, advantages.
Did Danny White already confirmed it's sold out?
I'll have to double check, but I'd be willing to bet that it is if it going isn't, to be sold out. The fan base is going to be loud. And just because Tennessee is out of the college football playoff picture, they still have everything to play for, and they would love nothing more than to end Vanderbilt's season right there in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah. Philip in Murfreesboro says, Pavia on one leg in that Tennessee game last year. I love that Vol fans believe he's the same guy they got last year.
He's not. He's a different player. He's upgraded.
And he was banged up in that game last year. Let's not sugarcoat it. He was banged up. He's not this year, and he's playing on a completely different level than he was last year. I love that we're the mediator here of stirring up some Vol Vandy hate. It's everything I wanted and more. Jeremy in Clarksville, the Vols are set up for another typical Tennessee letdown. Maybe so. I just think it's going to be a battle of momentum, right? I think whoever comes out and puts up points early is going to be able to win. Because I just think, I don't know if Tennessee's defense is able to stop Vanderbilt's offense.
Well, Tennessee's been known for getting off to hot starts. I think they're first in the country in first quarter scoring or something along the lines of that. But will they be able to maintain that throughout the game? That's right. What bit them against Georgia. That's what bit them against,
Oklahoma.
Obviously, they beat Florida, but they scored 31 points in the first half. So will you be able to maintain that? And because Vanderbilt, they play four quarters of football. They did that against Auburn and extra. And they Pavia wanted to stay in the Kentucky game in the fourth quarter. If you saw that, I don't know if you saw that video.
So did his mom.
Floating around on Twitter. Of course you. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that video floating around on Twitter of Clark Lee having to tell Diego Pavia no to going back into the game on Saturday. But they want to play four quarters of football, so Tennessee has to do that as well.
And some of that on Saturday was, let's pile up as many points as we can because we're trying to squeeze into the college football playoff, and maybe if we do, margin of victory will give us a nod over some other team trying to get into the field. That's not an excuse. That's just what happened. But you're right. It's about playing four quarters of team football, and if you were to ask me, I think Vanderbilt is more inclined to do that than Tennessee is. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll step aside, come back in the final hour of the program, get back into the Titans. There was another positive trend in the direction of the Tennessee Titans, and it comes from the coaching staff. Mike McCoy seemed a lot more aggressive yesterday, didn't he? Is that going to be a common trend for the remainder of the season? We'll get into that coming up next. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game.